Let's just open our Bibles or iPads or phones or whatever you're using for your source. Praise God. Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah. Let's go to the great redemptive chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53. And here's what the Lord told me to tell you this morning about this morning and tonight's service. I'm so glad we're not just doing one service. So glad we have two services. We'll get a lot more accomplished. But here's what the Lord said. He said, tell them today will be a landmark in their lives. Amen. It will be a landmark. Anybody understand what a landmark is? A landmark always is something that represents something good in history. Sometimes landmarks represent something bad, but most of the time they're something good. Well, for us, a landmark with God is something good, because only good comes from God. So a landmark, in other words, it's going to be a life-changing event today for you. Life-changing. It's going to alter. You're going to be able to look back to today and say, you know, 6 months ago, when you put today's date down, or a year from now, you'll say, a year ago, I got this truth, and God delivered me. He set me free. He lifted me up to new heights. My life's been changed ever since. I'm going to talk to you today about a part of your redemption. And unfortunately, it's a part that's been neglected way too long in the body of Christ. Let's start here in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. They're very familiar with many people. It says in verse 4, surely he, and that's referring to the Lord Jesus, surely Jesus has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I am reading from the King James for those that are visiting or whatever. Jesus bore our griefs and sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Notice it said, Jesus bore our griefs and sorrows. Of course, if you have studied out the word griefs and sorrows in the Hebrew, and you, if not, you've heard it preached probably, but the word grief also means sickness and disease. The word sorrow also means pain. It refers to physical and emotional pain, but we usually point out the word pain as physical pain. So Jesus bore my sickness, my disease, my pain. And we've used that through the years. Brother Hagin used it. Many people have used that through the years to teach on the subject of divine healing. I was so glad that I heard that taught back in 1976. I started attending a good church like this one, got under good pastor like you guys have, and started hearing about Jesus the healer for the first time in my life. I was raised in church, but I never was taught Jesus was my healer. So when I got to a good church like this one and was taught Jesus was my healer, then I received healing. The first 22 years of my life, I had an incurable disease in my body. And when I got to a church and found out Jesus was my healer, I got healed of that incurable disease. And been healed ever since. So I'm thankful that I learned that Jesus not only bore my sins, but he also bore my sickness, my disease, and my pain. Can I hear a big amen?
Amen?
But I want to point out something this morning. Look at this word, grief and sorrow. It says Jesus bore our grief and sorrow. These words, grief and sorrow, also mean grief and sorrow. I know that's deep. That's heavy. So just hang on. It'll come to you in a minute. Grief and sorrow deal with the feelings and the emotions. In other words, when Jesus went to the cross, he also bore everything dealing with negative emotions that could rule your life, just like he bore every other curse. And yet, most Christians don't know this. A lot of Christians, even in Word of Faith circles, they know, well, Jesus bore my sins, and righteousness, which is a part of God's grace, righteousness empowers me to do something I couldn't do on my own, and that's live free from sin. Also, they learned Jesus was my healer and Jesus bore my sicknesses, and so I can receive that aspect of grace. But many Christians, they let depression rule them. They let stress rule them. They let worry rule them. They let hurt feelings rule them. They let bad temper and anger and different emotions control them, and they're acting like the world instead of a child of God. Many not knowing that Jesus redeemed their emotions when he went to the cross. This says Jesus bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. If you'll actually look up this word grief, I pointed out it means sickness and disease, but if you look up the Hebrew word, it also means grief and it also means anxiety. Anxiety would cover stress. Jesus bore my stress. Anxiety would cover worry. It would cover hurt feelings. So getting your feelings hurt and getting offended, wearing your feelings on your shirt sleeves, all those kinds of things. Jesus went to the cross and bore those things for me. As a substitute, right? If you know this word bear, if you look it up, Jesus bore, or Jesus bear, it's a substitutionary word in the Hebrew. It means he did it for us so that we don't have to. Isn't that good news? I mean, Jesus bore our sins so that we didn't have to. Well, guess what? He bore my worry and my stress so I don't have to. Stress is huge in society today. Worry, depression, is all this stuff. And then the word grief, if you look up the word grief also, of course, means pain, but I pointed out not just physical pain, it also means emotional pain. But the Hebrew word, if you look it up, it also means anguish, which covers with anguish and grief and emotional pain, it covers depression, it covers discouragement, hopelessness, it covers bad temper and anger problems. Somebody said, well, that's just my makeup. That's just the way I am. That's just my temperament. I'm Italian or I'm Irish or I'm this or that or the other. But I got news for you. That is not the way God created you. You have let those kind of feelings and emotions control you, but you don't have to once you found out what Jesus did at the cross. Jesus bore my stress. Okay, the word grief and sorrows, let's put them together. Jesus bore my stress, my worry, my anguish, my burdens, all my cares, all my depression, my discouragement, my hopelessness. He bore my bad temper and anger problems. He bore all of that so that I don't have to. And yet so many Christians are controlled by these different feelings and these different emotions. Most of them because of a lack of knowledge. They haven't learned what Jesus did at the cross for them. And my people are destroyed for a lack of what? Or Isaiah 5:13, my people go into captivity because they have no knowledge. So we have to know these things. Knowing truth is what makes us free. Why do you think Joyce Meyer's meetings are so huge everywhere she goes? Because she talks about emotion, talks about feelings. And so you can see where the majority of the body of Christ is at when they pack out the Colosseums to come and find out how to feel better. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. I mean, amen. No, this says Jesus bore my grief and sorrows and sick, and he bore my stress and worry and depression and bad temper and anger and all those problems. He bore them for me and gave me peace and joy in replacement. Now let me share this with you, because when God's told me to tell you this is going to be a landmark in your life, that this is going to be a life-changing event for you, let me tell you what happened to me. The Lord came into my room. I didn't see him with my physical eye, but he came in my room and talked to me a number of years ago. And he said this to me. He said, I'm going to teach you in my word what to do. And if you do what I tell you, you will never have another down day the rest of your life. And he went on to explain to me, he said, now, I mean, when I say down day, I mean, you'll have no more depressed days or discouraged days, but you'll have no more stress-filled days. You'll have no more worry-filled days. You'll have no more bad temper or uncontrolled anger type days. You'll have no more get your feeling hurt-filled days. He started naming all the negative emotions that control all of us. And he said, if you'll do what I tell you in the word, you'll have none of those days the rest of your life. He said, you'll have moments. Everybody has to face the moment. He said, but I'm going to show you how to just keep it a moment and not let it control you at all. Amen. You'll never have another down day the rest of your life. So I started doing, I mean, just one day at a time, because he took me through the scriptures, and that's what we're going to get into part of them this morning and tonight. He took me through the scriptures, showed me what to do. I just started doing it. I was working at Delta Airlines at the time when he taught me this. I started doing it one day at a time, 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 one day, one day. One day, and before I knew it, I had strung together 365 of those one days. And I looked back and I realized, wait a minute, I haven't had a down day in a year. Wow. Haven't had a stress-filled. I haven't had a depressed or discouraged. I haven't had a worry-filled. I haven't had a get-my-feelings-hurt-filled. I haven't had a bad temper fly off the handle in a year. And I realized then, I thought, this is too fun to stop. I mean, when you're like happy and joyous and at peace 365 days in a row, it's like, I don't want to stop this. This is too fun. So I'm telling you now, because I've been doing this for many years now, you're looking at one happy dude. And I'm telling you, I not only preach this, I live this. I live what I preach and I preach what I live. So what you're going to hear and why this is going to be so life-changing for you and so life-altering for you and a landmark in your life is because I've been there, done that, and it works for everybody. It works for whosoever will. So when you, and that's why I'm starting here not with my testimony. I started here with what Jesus did at the cross because this is what it's all based on. This is a blood issue when we start talking about Jesus at the cross. So actually Jesus shed his blood for the way you feel just like he did in every other area. He wants you to feel at joy and feel at peace. He wants you happy. Listen, God's kids are supposed to be the happiest children on the earth. And yet so much worry and stress and depression and discouragement and hurt feelings and everything controlling people, and that's causing all kinds of illnesses in people's body. Sickness and disease. One of my doctor friends said, gosh, the majority, the highest percentage of sickness and disease in people's body is not caused by sickness or disease. It's caused by stress and worry and depression and hurt feelings and bad temper and all those things. He said it puts the body on tilt. Your and my bodies were not designed to handle all of those pressures. That's why Jesus said, cast them. Amen. So it says, Jesus bore my grief, my anxiety, my stress, my worry, my hurt feelings, and he bore my sorrows and my anguish and my pain and my depression and bad temper and discouragement, all those things. He bore them so that I don't have to. Then look at verse 5. Y'all got your shouting clothes on, right? The verse 5 says, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now, of course, if you've studied out the word peace, you know it goes way beyond just the feelings and emotions because it's the word shalom, but it includes the feelings and the emotions because complete soundness is also in mind and soul, your mind, will, and emotions. So God said, not only in verse 4 did I put all of your stress and all of your bad temper and all of your worries and all of your hurt feelings and all of those negative emotions on Jesus on the cross, and he bore them for you, but then the chastisement of your peace was upon him. What does that mean? Well, the word chastisement means several different things, but there's a couple of definitions I really like. One of them is the restraint of your peace. The restraint of your peace was upon him, the Hebrew says. Another one says the rebuke of your peace was upon him. So by using the words restraint of your peace or rebuke of your peace, it's talking about any cause or any reason. In other words, something that happens that would cause me to be depressed or be stressed or be mad or be upset and all these things. All of the reasons and all of the causes that you and I would face in life that would cause us to fall into these negative emotions, Jesus bore them too. That's going to hit some of y'all in a minute. You may want to start dancing again. Glory to God. Just think about this. Jesus not only bore my stress, but he bore every reason for me to be stressed. He not only bore my depression, he bore every cause of that depression. He not only bore my anger and temper problems, he bore every cause and reason for me to be that way. Whoa, that is huge. That is really huge because no longer can I blame you for the way I feel. Come on now. I can't blame you for the way I feel anymore because the reason for me feeling that way, Jesus faced, and he defeated that too. Wow. Jesus not only bore my depression, but he bore the reason of the depression, or the cause. So whatever that is, that cause, that reason, I call it that time because it could be that time of life, that time of month, that time of taxes, that time of politics, that time, that whatever that time is, Jesus faced that time and he defeated it for you. That's why, brother, that's why sometime I have to stop my car when I'm driving down the road. Now, see, he said you don't have to have music to worship and praise and dance. Oh, I'm going to testify right now. I've been driving down the road, had to pull over off the side of the road, run around my car, and get back in. I had a Holy Ghost fire drill. Somebody said, Brother Larry, I thought that was called a Chinese fire. No, I don't give the Chinese glory for my fire drills. God gets the glory. The Holy Ghost fire drill. Woo! Glory to God. So when Jesus went to the cross, he not only bore my sin, not only bore my sickness, but he bore every negative emotion. Then he bore every cause. Now that's just powerful, because then there's no reason or cause that can make me feel that way. Amen. Listen, let me testify this. This works with little kids, teenagers, older folk. We just got a testimony in of a 70-some-year-old lady. She sent in an email. She got a hold. I have a book and a CD series on this subject, and she got a hold of it, and she was in her 70s. She said she had been a world-class worrier all her life. Her parents, who were pastors, she'd been raised in a pastor's home, and then she was in the ministry many years, and she said when she got a hold of my teaching, she said she thought that was just her lot in life. It was just the way God made her to worry and be concerned and uptight and bothered about everything. And she said she finally found out, no, that's not the way God created me to live in peace and joy. She said, I learned that months ago. She said, I've been living every day now free from worry and stress ever since I got a hold of your teaching. And she asked me this question in the email. She said, Brother Larry, why didn't somebody tell me this years ago? I'm 75 or so, whatever she is. I'm in my 70s, and I'm just now starting to live in this great life God wants me to live in. And the only thing I could answer her back, I said, I don't know why somebody didn't tell you earlier, but I do know this. The Bible said God redeems our time, which means your latter years can be better than your former. Amen. So Jesus bore all of that, which means there's no reason or no cause to make me feel that way. So my daughter, I started teaching my daughter this when she was just little, and just let her know, you don't have to let emotions, hormones, chemicals, anything. You don't have to let anything control. You can control your feelings and emotions by the power of God. Yes. And so when she was, oh gosh, she was in middle school. We used to call it junior high school. But middle school, when she was in between elementary and high school, right? She was a cheerleader all through school, and she was a head cheerleader. And so she came home from work, from school one day. I think this was when she was 13. She came home from school. She said, Daddy, guess what? I said, what? She said, man, at cheer today, there was drama. And of course, if you've had kids, you know that drama doesn't start in high school. Drama starts when they're in kindergarten and in elementary school, the weekend they come back to school and they find out some of their friends invited the other ones over to their house over the weekend, but not them. And so all of a sudden the feelings, depression and stress and anger and all these, it starts early. But anyway, my daughter, when she was 13, she said, boy, Daddy, they had drama today at cheer. She said, guess what? I said, what? She said, I just decided to live in peace. Glory to God. And that's when I realized, listen, this word will work for anyone, regardless of age. Amen. So it says Jesus bore my stress, my worry, my depression, my panic attacks, my sleep disorders. He bore all of them so that I could live in peace while I'm on the earth. And then he faced every cause, every reason. While I'm talking, turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. He faced every reason and he faced every cause so that I could live in peace, live in joy. Listen to this. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. 24/7, 365. Say it with me. 24/7, 365. That God says His children can live that way in peace and joy, free from all of the emotions that have controlled you thus far. Somebody said, yeah, but you just don't understand. And they'll tell you the reason that they feel that way. Well, that's why I just read your redemption, your redemptive rights, that Jesus already faced the reason and He faced the cause of those feelings. After He bore the feelings, He faced the cause and He defeated them too. Which means then His peace, His joy must be more powerful than the cause. Whether the cause is hormonal or chemical or whatever the cause, financial, marital, whatever the cause, evidently God's peace is more powerful than that. Because the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. All right, look here at Galatians chapter 5. We're familiar with this passage as well, but let's see it here. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit, everybody say the fruit of the Spirit, says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and there's no law that can stop any of those things. So, God brought me here. This is one of the scriptures He brought me to. And He said, Larry, He said, what did I call these nine things? He said, I said, you called them fruit. Now let me just say this. If you've studied this passage, you know this is talking about fruit that God, by the Holy Spirit, or we could say it this way, that the Holy Spirit brings with Him when He moves inside of us. Remember, under the new covenant, God said it would be a better covenant established on better promises. He said, I'm not going to just be with you like I was under the old covenant. I'm going to also be what? In you. Well, so this is letting us know when the Holy Spirit comes in us to live, to abide, He brings nine pieces of baggage. The reason He brings this baggage is He wants you and me to get rid of our baggage. Come on now. So He brings this fruit, and the Lord asked me, He said, so what did I call this? I said, you called it fruit. He said this to me, and I'm telling you, oh, Pastor Sarah, this just changed me so much. And Pastor Ed and Gregor, I'm telling you, oh man, it was like, whoa, this was so revelatory to me. He said, my fruit of peace and my fruit of joy, they are not seasonal fruit. Now, here's why when he said that, it just exploded in me. Here's why. When I was 15 years old, my first job, I born and raised in Tampa, Florida, lived in Odessa, Florida, and everywhere in Florida at that time, especially, was orange groves and fruit groves, all kinds of fruit. So my first job at 15 was working in an orange grove because I found out during fruit season that as a 15-year-old, I could work there and make money. And I made like 10 times more than if I'd have worked at McDonald's or Pizza Hut, right? So I worked in the orange groves picking fruit. And so, boy, when fruit season came, I loved it. But the only problem is when fruit season ended, I had to go to Pizza Hut or McDonald's. So I only got to enjoy to make that kind of money, which was really good money for a 15-year-old. You know, you're making like 20 bucks an hour. You know, that was huge back then. And so I'm making all this money, but it was just during fruit season. But boy, my brother and I, we both worked in the fruit, in the orange groves and stuff. And boy, we looked forward to fruit season. And the Lord, when He said that my fruit of peace and my fruit of joy are not seasonal, it just went off on the inside of me. All of a sudden, all I could think was, well, wait a minute then. If it's not seasonal, then that means I have this fruit in me 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. I got it when I get up out of bed and when I go to bed And during the day when people are mean and ugly, and when it doesn't look like you have enough, and when you feel hard and bad and tired and sick and all those, I got this peace. And you know how because one of the biggest fruits that I picked was a grapefruit, right? So I started looking at peace like this big old grapefruit on the inside of me. I thought, man, I got this peace all the time. I don't care what feelings come against me, what emotions try and control me. I got this peace on the inside of me. And let me just illustrate, let me give you two examples of how powerful the peace is. Because, you know, when you talk about overcoming feelings, especially with certain people that have like maybe chemical problems, imbalances, or people that have hormonal issues, things like that, a lot of times they can't see past those natural things. They can't see to the blood of Jesus. They can't see to the supernatural. They can't see to the grace of God. But when you start believing in what Jesus did at the cross, you're talking about the finished work of Jesus, then you start releasing a grace that empowers you and enables you to do things you can't do humanly. You can't do on your own. That's what grace does. And so let me give you a couple examples. Y'all remember when Jesus was going across the ocean? I'm not talking about the time he walked on the water. I'm talking about the time he was in the ship. They're going to the other side. They're going to do a ministry trip, right? And a storm arises. And the Bible, of course, gives us the short version of the story. You know, the Bible says in John 21:25, there are also many other things which if were written, everyone, I suppose, the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. So we always get the condensed short version of stories like that one when the storm arose, you know, and all of a sudden the Bible says the disciples feared for their lives. Well, when you read the story in the Bible, you think it all happened just like that. But you know it doesn't. Storms come, you see them coming, and then it starts raining and thundering and lightning, and their boat didn't fill up in 2 seconds. You know, it stormed a little while, and then it started filling up with water, and they were bailing, and then they got to the point where they were fearing for their lives, right? But we get the short version, so it starts talking to us about when they've kind of lost it emotionally. Their feelings are now out of control. They are stressed, worried, uptight, and everything else. And so, you know who they went to find when they got that way, right? Remember it said they went looking for Jesus? It probably would have been better to look for him before they got all stressed out and everything. But, you know, if you are down and depressed and stressed, it is a good thing to look to Jesus then as well. But they went and found Jesus. Where was he? In the back part of the ship doing what?
Sleeping?
What do you mean sleeping? Don't you know there's a storm, Jesus? Don't you know we're about to die? Don't you know that it's a storm of life? Oh, Jesus, you ought to be acting like we are. But Jesus doesn't even respond to them. It's very interesting. Read the stories. He doesn't even respond to them. He gets up, forgets them, looks at the storm and says, "Peace, be still." And peace was so powerful, it could change atmospheric conditions. Do you hear me? It was so powerful. Liz and I have used this very peace to change tornadoes in Oklahoma. See, they say we live in Tornado Alley. So we have to take dominion over the wind like Jesus said we could. And like the Word of God says back in Genesis 1 when he gave us dominion over all the earth. So we've spoken. My wife, one time when she was home alone and a tornado was heading toward our house, she spoke to it and it disappeared up in the clouds. We have dominion. So this peace was so powerful that it actually changed the atmosphere. I wonder if it was powerful enough to change your atmosphere. Give you another example. Liz and I were in Jackson, Mississippi, ministering at a church, and a lady came up to us. She said, "Brother Hutton, Sister Liz, can I talk to you? I want to give you a testimony." I said, "Sure." She said, "Well, 2 years ago you were here. And she said, you did not teach on this subject of peace and how to live in peace all the time. You taught another subject, but I got a hold of your book." And she said, I've been bipolar all my life. For over 40 years, I've been on medication. My brother was bipolar. My parents were bipolar. Now, for those of you that may not be familiar with that, it's what scientific community call a chemical imbalance, where the mood swings are major, and major depression. They can go from one extreme, they can go to the extreme of wanting to commit suicide, and so their emotions are tried, they try and control them by oppressing the feelings with medicine. And so this lady's been on medicine for over 40 years, since she was a little kid. And she came up to my wife and I, she said, I'm not bipolar anymore. She said, I don't take any medicine anymore after over 40 years. She said, because I found out in your book that Jesus bore all of those feelings and that I didn't have to let them control me. She said, I read through the book one time, and the first time, you know, I didn't get delivered. She said, but when I got done reading the book, I heard this still small voice. You know who that is, right? Voice of the Spirit of God, God wanting to speak to each of us. She said, I heard this still small voice. The answer to your deliverance is in this book. Now, God wasn't telling her that Larry had the answer. God was telling her that the Word of God in the book was her answer.
That's right.
And so she remembers hearing that. She said, well, I'm going to read the book again. So she read the book the second time. At the end of the second time reading through, she still wasn't delivered. And she didn't hear anything this time. But she remembered that first time. She said, you know what? God told me the answer to my deliverance is in this book. I'm going to read it again. She's going through the book the third time. And I thought to myself, my goodness, most Christians don't even finish the book the first time. And they wonder why they don't ever get delivered. But here she is. She's just pressing in. She's not taking no for an answer. She's going to get her answer. And halfway through the book the third time is when the Holy Ghost, it dawned. She told me it this way. It dawned on me, because I knew that meant the Holy Ghost revealed to her. She said, it dawned on me, I do not have to feel this way anymore. I will never have another down day. My emotions aren't controlling me. I control them. I have the fruit of peace on the inside of me. And this peace is more powerful than depression, stress, or anything else. So there she was standing in front of us giving her testimony. I said, so how long has it been since you've had medication? 2 years ago. I said, let me ask you this. When you quit taking the medication, you'd been on it for over 40 years. You knew the mood swings you'd had all those years, and how many times you'd tried to commit suicide and all those things. I said, when you quit taking the medicine, did you notice anything? I mean, did like any of those emotions or feelings try and come back? She started laughing. She said, oh, yeah. She said, man, they tried to overwhelm me, because I'm not taking the medicine anymore. And all of a sudden, all those emotions and feelings tried to overwhelm me. She said, but this time, she didn't say it this way, but my words would be, I'm loaded for bear. She said it more like, this time I had inside information. This time I was set with the Word of God, and I wasn't about to let those feelings control me. She said, you know, it was several months that I had to battle those feelings that would come against me. She said, but I never battled them more than maybe 30 minutes a day. She said, they'd try and come against me, and I'd stand against them, and 30 minutes, they're gone. She said, I live free from them all the time. Since then, we've had four others that were bipolar. The last one that got delivered from being bipolar, she was on weekly shock treatments. Wow. But she's totally free now, because she learned how to apply this peace to her life. Listen, if peace is powerful enough to change an atmosphere and change hormones, then it's powerful enough no matter what your cause or your reason might be for feeling the way you felt, down, depressed, discouraged, mad, angry, upset, bothered, whatever. Listen, this peace is more powerful than that feeling. Why? Because of what Jesus did at the cross. He already bore the feeling, and then he faced every cause or reason and defeated it as well. Boy, sometimes you want to just stop. Pastor Sarah, sometimes you just want to stop and say Selah. You know, just so that they'll meditate on what they've... I mean, I could stop right now and you could take this and live free the rest of your life. Why? Because we're talking about something the blood did for us. This is part of our redemption, praise God. Turn with me over to John's Gospel. John, the 14th chapter. Is anybody getting anything? John chapter 14. Wow. Thank you, Lord. The fruit of peace, the fruit of joy are not seasonal fruit. That means I got them all the time. Somebody said, well, Brother Larry, this happened and it caused me to lose my peace. I said, no, actually, you can't lose it. You may not use it, but you can't lose it. Because as long as the Holy Spirit's on the inside, He's got all these fruit with Him. That means you can live in joy and you can live in peace all the days of your life. When somebody hears me give my testimony sometimes, and I'll testify, you know, my daughter is 20 years old now. She's in her second year of... My daughter, by the way, Pastor Sarah, second year Rhema Bible College. I mean, where you guys went before I did, and then 32 years ago, my wife and I went to Rhema. So here's my daughter going there now. But my daughter, who's 20 years old, has never seen her daddy have a down day. Because the Lord came to me and taught me this before she was born. So she's never seen her daddy have a stress-filled day, a fly-off-the-handle, bad temper, anger day, a depressed, a discouraged day. And so a lot of times I'll be giving my testimony and I'll tell people, you know, it's been this many years since I've had a stress-filled day or depressed day or bad temper day or any of those things. And they'll look at you like, are you for real? And I'll say, now don't get me wrong. I passed up a lot of marvelous opportunities. But that was the key. All of us, and you're going to see that when we get to not this scripture, the next one. You're going to see all of us have to face stress. We have to face depression. We have to face hurt feelings. We have to face anger. We have to face all of the negative emotions. They come to all of us. So everybody will have the moment, but you don't have to take the moment and build a monument. All right. So look here at John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus is talking, right? He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Now stop right there and let me ask you a question. Jesus just said, my peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. So my question may sound silly, but I want an answer. Did Jesus tell a lie? All right, so He gave you His peace, did He not? Let me ask you, do you have the peace that Jesus had? If you believe what the Scripture says, you know you do, because it says right here, Jesus said, my peace I give to you. So what does that mean? That means you have God's peace. Because remember, I and the Father are one, Jesus said. So if Jesus gave you His peace, He's given you God's peace. Wow. I have the peace that my Father God has? Yeah. That's why you can overcome any feeling that tries to control you. Because we're not talking about something you can do in yourself and in the power of your might. We're talking about using part of God's grace. We're talking about using this peace, this fruit on the inside of you that's more powerful than any storm, than any trouble and test and trial of life. All right, so watch this. He says, I give you my peace. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. And now watch what he says. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. The word troubled here, if you look it up, it's a word that means to stir or to agitate, like a washing machine does the clothes, right? It's stir or it's agitating, right? Well, when somebody's depressed, somebody's stressed, somebody's flying off the handle, angry, mad, hurt feelings, panic attack, all the different emotions. When those are going on, that means your emotions are stirred. They're not calm. They're not at peace. They're agitated. And Jesus says right here, don't let your heart be troubled. Now, I looked up the word heart. The word heart in the Greek language, cardia, is often referred to as just for the spirit. But other times it's used for just the soul, the thoughts and the feelings and the emotions, which is the case here. Jesus says, don't let your emotions be stirred up and agitated. Don't let your feelings be all riled up and agitated and stirred. Don't let. Does that sound like we have a choice in the matter? Don't let. That kind of says don't do something. Sounds like I have a choice of how I feel. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Let me give you an example the Lord gave me. He said, even as human being, he said, human beings can control the way they feel. And then he gave me an example of something that happened to me. I'll use the example, and probably has happened to many of you. Have you ever been in a heated argument with somebody? You know, where they're giving you a piece of their mind and you're giving them a piece of your mind and there's not much happening. Those little pieces, you know. But anyway, we call it going at it like cats and dogs, you know. He said, and here you are going at it like cats and dogs, and then somebody that you did not expect comes into the room. I can see some of y'all are going to, oh yeah, this has happened to me. And when that unexpected person came into the room, you didn't want them to see you acting that way, so you changed your emotions. Yeah, you did. You changed the way your emotions were controlling you. You stopped. Now listen, before that unexpected person came in the room, you would swear that, listen, the reason you are flying off the handle, mad, whatever, the reason you're this way is because he made me, or she made me, or they made me, or it made me. So you tell people, you know, I couldn't control myself. But now when the unexpected person came in the room, you controlled yourself. Somebody said, well, Brother Hutton, I was just faking it. No. Listen, let me show you how much control you had over your feelings. You probably looked at that unexpected person and treated them kindly. Yes. Smiled at them. Yes. Were nice to them. Why? Because you were controlling the way you felt toward that person. And then when the unexpected person left the room, then, you know, it wasn't your fault anymore. You couldn't help yourself. So I can see I'm not the only one that had that experience. All right. So the Lord said, see, just natural human people can control the way they feel. But now, when I empower you with my grace, when I empower you with peace and with joy, you now have supernatural ability that humans don't have. Wow. Now I've got God's ability on the inside of me. I got this peace that passes all understanding, glory to God, that will change hormones, it'll change chemical deficiencies, it'll change atmospheres, it'll change anything, so that I can live in this kind of peace all the days of my life. So Jesus here says, don't let your feelings be agitated, stirred up, or depressed, or stressed, or worried, or hurt, or all those things. Don't let. So here's what we do. Let me give an example. Here's what we do. We hear this preached at church. We go to work, and something happens now where all of a sudden our feelings are agitated, stirred up, and then we say to ourselves, okay, now wait a minute. I'm not going to feel that way. I'm not going to feel that way. I'm not going to feel that way. And we lose it. And then the devil jumps on our shoulder and condemns us for feeling that way. The problem was, listen up, the problem was we were trying to be strong in ourselves and the power of our might instead of resting and being strong in Him and the power of His might. Here's what we did. Listen, here's what we were actually doing. We were taking the second part of this verse. We're still in John 14:27. We're taking the second part of the verse and trying to do it without the first part. And us word folk, we're really strong on, man, make sure you read it in context. Oh yeah, us word folk, word of faithful, we're real strong. Boy, you got to read it in context. Don't take that out of context. And yet we take the second part of the verse out of context and try and do it. Jesus, first of all, equipped us for the second part of the verse. In the first part of the verse, he said, I'm giving you my peace. Now, because you are empowered with my peace, you don't have to let your feelings control you anymore, agitate, stir you up, trouble you. And the end of the verse, you don't even have to enter into fear. Don't let them be afraid. That means this peace is more powerful than panic attacks. It's more powerful than fear. It's more powerful than anything that comes against us that would cause us to stress or worry about something. You understand stress and worry are forms of fear. That's just offspring of fear. I had the opportunity here just a couple weeks ago to put this to practice right in my life again. I'm sitting in front of my iPad studying, and I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of notes on my iPad. Thought I had them backed up. Yeah. Yeah. Hello. Hello. And I did an update, an iOS update on my iPad, not realizing that doing the update the way I did, if I'd have done it correctly, it wouldn't have happened, but I made a stupid mistake. And when I did the update, all of my notes in the program called Pages, for those of you that have iPads, you know what I'm talking about, but it's software. Pages, where all my notes were, all of them were erased. And I'm telling you, Pastor Sarah, Ed, Gregory, I felt a panic. I've never experienced a panic attack, so I didn't know what it felt like. But I felt one coming on. Because all of my notes, I had just gone out, my wife and I and my brother, we bought a cabin in the mountains many years ago, and so we have this cabin, and I went to use it as my prayer cabin. So I went out there for 9 days. I spent 4 to 6 hours a day preparing all my notes for Australia coming up next week. This was just a few weeks ago. And so I had over 100 hours prepared just for Australia, plus all the other stuff, and I lost it all. So my thinking, and here comes the fear and the panic attack, was there's no way I can get all of this ready by the time I leave for Australia. And all the other stuff, and boy, this starts trying to overwhelm me. And for probably about 30, maybe 60 seconds or so, I'm starting to panic big time. And then I stopped and I said, wait a minute. Peace! Be still! I will not lose my peace. Bless God, the Holy Ghost, the one that taught me all that and helped me put it all down, will help me again. And I just entered right into peace. And now I'm still studying, getting ready for Australia. I'll be studying on the flight home tomorrow. I'll be studying on the flight overseas on Wednesday. But that's all right. I am not concerned, worried, uptight, or bothered about anything. I refuse. And it's a whole lot more fun living that way, my friends. I'm telling you. Praise God. The peace of God. So Jesus says, don't let your heart or your feelings be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. So does it sound like we have the ability to not let them control us? For him to say, don't let, come on, God's not just saying that, mocking or making fun of us. God wouldn't tell us now, don't let your feelings be troubled if we couldn't do it. Wouldn't that be funny if Jesus and God are sitting up in heaven, God goes to Jesus, look, we told them not to get all troubled, but we know they can't do it. It's kind of funny watching them, isn't it? Look at that. Yeah. No, if God told us don't let, then guess what? We have the ability not to let. But it's not natural ability. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says we're not sufficient as to think anything of ourselves. It's not our ability. It's His ability in us. It's us partaking of grace. It's us partaking of what Jesus did at the cross. Whoo! Glory to God. All right, turn with me to John 16, two chapters over, John chapter 16. Telling you, life-changing event today. Oh man, I can't wait till tonight, because tonight I'm going to show you the how-tos. Oh, you don't want to miss tonight. Now I know, you know, in every church you go to, you know, you have, I mean, maybe certain churches aren't this way, but most churches, I'm talking about 80 to 90% of churches, people go Sunday morning, but they don't come back Sunday night. But if something is going to alter your life for eternity, it would be worth the sacrifice. It would be worth getting an hour less late. It'd be worth whatever it took to hear from God to change your life. Amen. That's right. Amen. So if you weren't planning on coming back tonight, I would highly recommend get rid of the stupid attack and come back tonight. I would highly recommend putting the flesh under and saying, okay, you know what? If I put God first, maybe I may have to go to bed a little later, but I know God will bless my sleep if I put Him first. God can make 4 hours sleep feel like 10. Come on, if you put your faith out there. Plus, when you lay down in peace from now on instead of laying down in stress and laying down, lot of people lay down. I'm talking spirit-filled Christians. I'm talking Word of Faith Christians. They'll lay down and they can't go to sleep because they're stressed or because they're mad or they're worried or they're uptight or something else. Some emotion keeps them awake. And then they wake up in the early morning hours. They're trying to go back to sleep, but their mind's going, worry, stress, uptight, anxiety. You don't have to have that anymore, friends. Jesus bore that for you. Look what he said here in John 16:33. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you. Well, now, wait a minute. If we stopped and we thought about these things, would that include what we just read in John 14:27? For those of us that know this, we know the Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse. So what he said in John 14:27, the end of the chapter, before he gets to this verse, is not very many words before this. So when he says these things, it would include, I give you my peace. Now don't allow your emotions to control you anymore. And so he says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. Well, how many of us are in him? If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are in Jesus. You're in Christ. So that means you have his peace, right? And we found out he put his peace in you by the Spirit of God. All right, now let's go on reading. He said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In the world you shall have tribulation. I looked up the Greek words you shall have, because like if we use that term in the English language, you know, we could say, you're going to have this, and in the English language it sounds like I have no choice in the matter. You're going to have it whether you like it or not. But that's not what these Greek words mean. The Greek words here, you shall have, are a correlational term in the Greek, or relational, and it simply means, you and I would put it this way, in the world you're going to have to deal with, or in the world you're going to face these feelings. You're going to face tribulation. So he's not telling us we're going to have tribulation and you're just going to have to put up with it. Or if so, he would have said it this way, in the world you'll have tribulation, so just go ahead and tribulate. Right? But he didn't say that, did he? He said, in the world, you're going to have to deal with stress, depression, hopelessness, worry, hurt feelings, bad temper. You're going to have to deal with these things. Because I looked up the word tribulation, and one of the definitions, it means tribulation and test and trials and troubles, but it also, one of the definitions is anguish. So it starts dealing with the emotions. And pressure. Pressure is one of the words. Well, there's stress and all those other hopelessness, all the pressures that come against people. So he said, in the world, you're going to have to deal with, you're going to have to face stress, worry, hurt feelings, bad temper, all those things. You're going to have to face them. But be of good cheer. I thought, now, wait a minute. This sounds hard when you just hear that. He said, listen, in the world, all hell's going to break loose against you. But be happy. That kind of sounds like, yeah, that's easier said than done. But wait a minute. I looked up the word be of good cheer, and in the Greek it means to be bold and courageous. So it's not talking about plastering on a fake smile and trying to act like you're happy. I said, okay, Lord, you said in the world I have to face stress and depression, all these feelings, but be bold and courageous. Then he tells us why we can be bold and courageous. I have overcome the world. Now notice the two words, the words at the end of the verse. The world. Everybody say it. Those are the same two Greek words used earlier in the verse. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In other words, the world, which is the stress, the worry, the depression, the hurt feelings, the bad temper, the hopelessness, the panic attacks, all of those things are coming against you and going to face you, but you can be bold and courageous because I've already faced them and defeated them for you. And in fact, it's the Amplified. If you have the Amplified, the end of the verse says, I've deprived them of power to harm you and conquered them for you. Deprived them of power? Yeah, deprived it of power. Deprived it, the world, which means them feelings, them tests, them trials, them anguish, them panic attacks, them, no matter what it is, Jesus faced him. And that's why we start in Isaiah 53. Because he said, I've defeated the world for you. Well, we found out he did it when he was at the cross. So he said, I've already faced those emotions. I've already faced them for you. I've already defeated them for you. This, the Amplified says, I've deprived them of power to harm you. Wow, wait a minute now. deprived of power. Let me give you a good example. Everybody knows the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or most people do anyway. That's found in Daniel chapter 3, and you guys know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego don't bow down, don't fall down and worship the king, so King Nebuchadnezzar decides to throw them in the burning fire furnace. And after he talks to them, gives them a second chance to fall down, and they don't do it, he gets so mad he turns up the heat of the furnace seven times, right? I mean, that is such a farce. It's such a facade of the devil. You know, it's like, okay, you were going to sizzle in 1 second, now you're going to sizzle in a half a second. What difference does it make that he turned it up seven? It's just a big front the devil puts on, trying to make things seem worse. So anyway, it really backfired on the devil, because you know what happened? Nebuchadnezzar, because the heat was so hot, he got his most mighty men in his army to pick up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them in. Well, when they got close enough to throw the guys in, the fire was so hot, what happened? They all died. His most mighty men. That means we've got the top of his army guys here. They are the best of the best, the strongest of the strongest, the most well-fit and exercised and muscular and everything else. And now he lost them all because he lost his temper. So in go Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, when they went in the fire, would we all agree the fire had plenty of power? We would, wouldn't we? Why? Because we see those most mighty men get sizzled, man. They get killed. So yeah, the fire had plenty of power. But then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go in there and they meet their best friend and they all have a party together. And then Nebuchadnezzar sees them partying. And so the Bible says it this way in Daniel chapter 3, around the 26th verse. It says, Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace and started talking to him. Remember the conversation? Shadrach! Meshach! Abednego! Come forth, come hither. Now here's the interesting part. It says Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace. Wait a minute. Just a few moments before, his most mighty men came near, and what happened to them? They were killed. This time he comes near and nothing happens. Why? Well, he even says it out of his own mouth when you go on reading the next couple of verses. It said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their God, they believed their God, and the fire had no power. The fire had what? It says the fire had no... That means it still looked like fire. It was fire, but here's the deal. It had no power. So it couldn't singe the hair, couldn't cause the smoke smell on the clothes, could not do anything that fire with power does. It had no power. That's what God's done with stress. That's what God's done with depression. That's what he's done with bad temper and anger problems. That's what he's done with hurt feelings and panic attacks and every other negative emotion. That's what Jesus did. He faced them at the cross. He took all the power out and then gave you peace and joy to take its place. Now, here's what the Lord said. Oh, if you haven't heard me the rest of the day, listen to what I'm about to say. This is so awesome. The Lord showed me this. He said, Larry, when those feelings come, and then he used an example, let's say depression. When depression comes against you, against your mind, your feelings, your emotions, when the feeling comes, I'm depressed. He said, that depression has no power to make you feel that way. I already faced it and I took the power out. So there's nothing backing it up. It's a facade. It's a front. It's a big bag of hot air. It has no oomph behind it. So he said, here's what he said to me. Listen to this. He said, so when the depression comes, it can't make you feel that way unless you believe in it. If you believe in it, you give it the power to overwhelm you. Because it's powerless. The Imperials used to sing that it's powerless against you. Listen, stress can't make you stressed. Depression can't make you depressed. No negative emotion can make you feel that way unless you choose to believe it. Then you give it the power to overwhelm you. Man, when the Lord taught me that, that was the last down day I've had since. I've never had another one since then. Because I look, when the feeling comes of stress, worry, depression, whatever feeling comes against me, I look at it and say, no, I'm not going to feel that way. You can't make me. Come on, make me. And I'll start laughing. I got to laughing. I was driving down my truck. I got a four-wheel drive Lariat 4 crew cab, and I'm driving down the highway. I got laughing so hard one day at the devil, I had to pull off the road because I think I was swerving, you know. I probably gotten pulled over for being drunk. I was drunk on new wine. Yeah. Amen. But I got so excited because, man, Jesus, you did this for me. You, woo, glory to God. None of those feelings can ever make me feel that way again. Ever. So, if I were to come up to you and hand you a package, and you looked down and you saw a clock from ticking down from 30 seconds, 29, 28, and I said, here's a bomb, and then I ran. And here you are holding the box with 24 seconds left, and Pastor Carr, or Pastor, one of the pastors comes up to you and says, hey, Don't worry, I already took all the power out of that bomb. What would you do? You'd probably sit there and count down 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, click. You'd be laughing. You would not be afraid. You would have absolutely no negative emotion whatsoever. You'd be in peace and joy. Why? Because you knew that there was no power in the bomb. Powerless. Can't make you do anything. Amen. And that's because you had inside information, right? Well, now I'm telling you today, you got inside information. God has put His peace on the inside of every child of God. And then when He was at Calvary, He faced every stress, every worry, every depression. Listen, we have had ladies come up, and men both, in our meetings and said, man, I was a world-class worrier. I'm not anymore. I totally got delivered because I found out how to release peace and joy instead. We've already had men that were going to anger management classes to try and get delivered from anger. They didn't have to keep going to class anymore once they found out that God already delivered them. Learned how to put this peace into practice. We've had all kinds of testimonies like these things happen over and over and over. And guess what? They're even happening today as we listen to the Word of God. There are numerous ones of you getting delivered, getting set free, getting built up in the Word of truth. Glory to God. And you're going to be a whole lot more fun to live with. That's what I found out when I started living this way. I was a whole lot more enjoyable for others. I mean, yeah, I have fun. I'm in peace and joy. I live this way all the time. But I found out when you start learning to live this way, the others that you live with or around, it's a lot more enjoyable for them too. Yeah, because when you and I are stressed or depressed or angry or upset and causing strife and all this, it's no fun to be around us. Come on now, don't shout me down. It's the truth. But boy, when we live in peace and we live in joy, my ministry, my employees just love me coming into the ministry. They tell me this all the time. Such peace. Of course, you know, I've taught them how to do this, so we have peace, and I've taught them how to live the love of God. Because we don't have to just do love. You know, love is a fruit, so yeah, we do. We do exercise that fruit of love, but we are love. If you're born of God and God is love, then you're born of love. You are a love being just like your Father. So it's not like you have to try and do this love. No, I am love. That gives me the ability to love you the way Christ loves me. I don't love you the way I love my neighbor. I don't love my neighbor. I don't love you the way I love myself. That was old covenant. No, I love you the way God loves me. That's new revelation for some people. What? We don't have to love our neighbor as ourselves? No, because if you're loving your neighbor as yourself and you're not liking yourself right now, your neighbor's in trouble. And we've all been there. Come on now. I'm supposed to love you the way I'm loving me, and I ain't loving me very good. You are in trouble, baby. No, that was old covenant, new covenant. If you read the time, actually seven times that it's quoted in the New Testament, it's always quoting the law. Never telling you and I to live by the old covenant, love your neighbor as yourself. No, Jesus said, John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, love others the way I love you. See, old covenant was, I'm going to love you the way I love self. New covenant, I'm going to love you the way God loves me and get rid of self. All right, praise God. Amen. Anybody get anything today? Oh, man, I'm telling you, I can't wait for tonight because we're going to get into the how-tos tonight. And I know you've already had your life changed, but it's going to change you a lot more because you're going to look back 6 months from now. You're going to look back a year from now, and you're going to be able to say, the last down day I had was, and you're going to point back to the landmark. You're going to point back to this date of October 13, 2013 was my last whatever day. Stress-filled day, hormone-controlled day, whatever day. Amen. No more. No more. Everybody say, I control the way I feel. No one or nothing can control my emotions. I control my emotions with the control of God called peace and joy. I am a happy one. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, I just pray for my brothers and sisters right now, those that have come and the visitors have come today. Lord, thank you. This truly is a day that you've made, so we're going to rejoice and be glad. Thank you, Father God, for changing us from the inside out. Thank you, Lord, for revealing to us truth that we can live in our covenant rights. Thank you, Lord God. We'll never, ever have another down day the rest of our lives. I know that, Lord, and I believe those that are here that believe the truth know that as well. So I thank you, Lord, that you found a group of people right here in Nanuet, New York. We're not going to just be hearers only. We're going to be doers. And this is going to work. And Lord, we're going to be able to do more than we've ever done in letting our light shine before men. They're going to see our good works and they're going to want to glorify you. Thank you for that, Father. And Lord, I